All right, guys, come on back in, grab your cookies and your coffee, and head on back in. It is, we are definitely into the fall season. I'm wearing my Packer shirt. I wear this every year on opening day, and so I wear it once a year. I also wear it if the Packers make the Super Bowl, and I haven't worn it for a while in February. So maybe this year I'll get to wear it twice, but... And you know, I wear it once a year, and I still manage to get a stain on it, and I can't get out. But that's just the way it goes. We just finished up our summer series, and if you've been around this summer, every year at Cedar Creek here, we take the whole summer, and we go through one topic for that whole 15 or 16 weeks from Memorial Day through Labor Day. We just finished that up last week, and we'd walked through the Old Testament, looking at these Old Testament stories, and it was really fun. But now we're into something different, and so we're starting a new series here today, and we're calling it "Building a Strong Christian." And I'm just curious, how many people here have been involved in a building project, a house or something? You've kind of either built a house, yeah. It's something that. You know, many of us understand, or we've done when you're going to build a building. In fact, here in a couple of weeks, probably they're going to start digging the hole. And for our addition, we raised the money and worked through, and we have the plans to build an addition here at Cedar Creek, and that's going to start here yet now this fall. They're going to dig the hole, hopefully get the foundations in and the frame up yet this fall, and then work on it all winter long. And so if you've done something like that, if you've been involved in the project here or done one on your own, you know that when you build a building, there's all kinds of stuff that goes into it, right? I mean, there's just lots and lots and lots of planning and details and thinking and raising money, and just so many things go into if you're going to build a building. We like our building here, this addition that we are working on now. I mean, we started thinking about this, I don't even know, Nate, how long ago was it that we started that process of thinking about the blueprints and the plan? What's that? 4 years ago, maybe even longer. I think Dave was still here, and yeah, 4 years, 5 years, something. It's just, we've been planning this thing for lots and lots of time, and there's all kinds of details that go into it. And we know that that's true, but when you think about a building, when you're involved in building something, what is it about it? What's the most exciting part of it? When it's done, right? When you think, okay, it's done, I can get into it and I can use it. And so we tend to think about building projects. Most of us tend to like to think about the end result. This is the thing that we're going to get. And when we think of the end result, what do we think about? Well, we think about the details of it. Oh, it's going to have this really cool countertop, and I got this fantastic flooring that's going to do this thing, and there's going to be this. My wife and I had an addition put on our house here several years ago, and I was so excited because as we were talking about it, I was going to get a library, and I was just so excited, and I did. I got a library. It's about this big. But I got this thing, and we think about the details, right? When we're involved in a building project, the most exciting part is the end result. And when we think about the end result, we tend to think of it in terms of all of the cool stuff, all of the details, all of the small things that just make it so cool and so spectacular. That's what we tend to think about when we think of building projects. And so when we think about perhaps this building project here, and many of you have been involved in that in one way or another. We've been talking about this, you know, putting an addition onto the church for a long, long time, and now we're still in that process. But most of us tend to think about it kind of like this. This is what we think of when we think, hey, we're going to put an addition onto the church, and that's what it's going to look like. I'm going to build that right out there. That's the actual, no, that's not what it's going to look like. Not going to look like anything like that, but kind of that's how we think about things like that, don't we? Think, wow, there's this beautiful thing that's going to happen, and I cannot wait for that beautiful, exciting thing to happen. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's just human nature, and we all do it. But there are some realities involved in that. And the realities are that something like this always starts with something like this. Somebody sits down with a piece of paper and draws lines on it. And they think about it, and they do it, and they change it, and they think about details, and they think about square footage, and they talk about how wide the hallways are going to be, and they think about how thick is the concrete going to be, and how much insulation do we need to put in the roof. And there are all of these details that somebody sits down and just chews on this minutia and draws and draws and draws a blueprint. Because if you're going to build a building, you have to start with, well, I got to have a plan. I got to know what I'm building, otherwise I don't know what I'm going to get. And you can't say to a builder, I want a building. He's going to say, well, what is it going to look like? And you have to be able to tell him. And so if you're going to have a building project, it starts long before you have this finished product. It starts with planning, blueprinting, talking about the details. And again, I keep referring to the building project here at church, but we've gone through, I don't know, I really truly don't know if it's been 24 different blueprints that starts with this thing, and then it changes, and it changes, and it changes, and changes. We finally got the one. I think a week ago, Don Breedle has been involved in this, and he sent an email that said, this really is finally the final one, and he said that 10 times already. And it would just keep changing. So if you're going to do a building, this has to happen first, doesn't it? This isn't maybe as exciting. It's kind of exciting. But it's exciting because you're looking forward to the end project, and you kind of want this stage to get done. There's something else that needs to happen before we get to the final product, and that's this. You start to do foundational things. The first thing that's going to happen out there is they're going to dig a hole, and they're going to pour concrete. In fact, the very first thing after they dig the hole, Jerry understands all about this, they're going to dig down below the frost line and pour footing. They're going to pour concrete, and then you know what they're going to do? They're going to cover it up, and no one will ever see it again. We hope. If you see the footing, something really, really bad happened. But they're going to do this thing where they're going to pour concrete deep down into the ground and cover it up, and then the building's going to get built on that. And there are foundational things that have to happen, and if you don't do the foundational things, well, the rest of it just collapses. It falls down. There's no structure to put all the cool libraries and flooring and countertops and all the neat stuff that we think about in the building has to be built on and in a strong foundation. And there's trusses that get built. You know, up above here, there's all kinds of trusses and things that happen that we just never see, but they hold the roof up, and the roof keeps the rain out. And so all of that needs to happen, and we know that, right? When you're going to build a building, there's all this planning that goes into it. And then when the work starts, a lot of the work is just like stuff that maybe no one's ever going to see. It's stuff that is not very exciting, not real useful in the sense that I'm not going to, you know, I don't go and look at the foundation. I don't go and think about the footings. I don't look at the concrete walls. It's stuff that you think, wow, I'm not sure what this has to do with the final product. But when we think about it, we know it has to be there. Those foundations have to be there. Otherwise, you're not going to get the end product, right? Now, we know that those things are true. We understand that there is this planning and this foundational work that has to go into a building. And really what it comes down to is that. You need to know, okay, what is it that I'm building, right? What is the purpose of this building? Because that's going to dictate what the plans are. And then I need to kind of lay it out, and I need to create a foundation that's strong enough and big enough and deep enough to handle what it is that I'm trying to build. That's very simple. And you might think, well, why are we talking about this? Here's why we're talking about this. I think that concept applies so much to Christianity. We talk here a lot about being a Christian. And this whole concept of being a Christian. And we talk about, wow, okay, what's that mean? What's that look like? How do I do that? How does that change things? What does it mean as far as my relationships? And being a Christian is so central to what we talk about here. And really, what that is this. Being a Christian is being associated with Christ. Jesus Christ, God Himself, God's Son, came to earth And he did something. He didn't come here just to be an example. He came here to open the door so that you and I could begin a relationship with God again. God created you and I to know him, to be close to him, to be with him. God's desire was to be our father, our friend, our master, to care for us, to love us, to lead us. That's what God created us to do. And he put us on this earth so that we could have a relationship with him. But we all turned our back on God and broke that relationship. That's what sin is. We have sinned. We've turned away from God. And that sin causes a separation, and our relationship with God is broken. And we're like little kids adrift in the world, lost, alone, going to die, totally apart from our Creator, totally apart from our Father, unable to care for ourselves. God loved me, God loved you so much that even though that was our choice, he came down, Jesus Christ, God himself, came down, took on a body like ours, lived here for the overwhelming purpose to pay the penalty for my sins and your sins. God himself chose to be sacrificed to pay the death penalty that I had coming. It says that the wages of sin is death. I earned death, separation from God because of my sins. Jesus said, I will pay Rob's penalty. I'll pay every one of your penalties. And so he came here, he sacrificed himself, he lived a life, and he was executed for my sins. So that if I now make a choice, say, Jesus, I will take that. I know I'm apart from you, God. I want to be right with you, God. I can't do it on my own. The only way that's going to happen is if I let you pay the penalty for my sins. In essence, you buy me back from the slavery that I've sold myself into. If I make that choice, then I become back in a relationship with God. And at that point, I'm a Christian. I'm associated with Christ. I'm God's son again. I've been brought back home. My relationship is restored. I'm a new person. I was lost and dying, and now I've been brought back home. I've been born again, it says in the Bible. I'm in God's family again, and I'm a Christian. I'm associated with Christ. That's what a Christian is. So becoming a Christian is something that we do by choosing to accept Christ as our Savior. When we do that, what it does is it sets us up in a different place. Now we have a different identity. I'm a different person than I was before. I was separated from God. Now I'm related to God. I was going my own way. Now God has me again in his hand. I'm his son again. And so I'm a different person than I was before. That's what a Christian is. But then I've got the rest of my life to live. Someday, as a Christian, I'm going to go be with God in heaven forever. I look forward to that. The older I get, the more I look forward to heaven. I was fishing the other day, and I thought, I wonder if heaven, if I can fish for like 8 months straight. I don't know. I have no idea. But whatever it is, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go be with God in heaven. I'll see him face to face. But that's coming in the future. Right now, I have a life to live here on earth. And I'm going to live my life here as a Christian. So what does that mean? That's what we talk about so much here at church. What does that look like for us to be a Christian here? And we want to be, if you've been around very long or if you've been a Christian for a while, you've heard the term a strong Christian, right? We want to be a strong Christian, and that makes sense. If you're going to be a basketball player, you want to be a good basketball player. Nobody says, I'm going to go out for basketball because I want to sit at the end of the bench and never get in the game. I mean, just don't say that. No one says, I want to be a father, but I want to be a really bad one. I mean, no, nobody says that. The things that we do, we'd like to be good at them. And if we're a Christian, we think, well, I'd love to be a strong Christian. I'd love to know how to live my life here on this earth in a really good way, in a way that's honoring to God, in a way that's having an impact on the people around me. I want to become more Christ-like. I want to grow in character. I mean, I'm right. I mean, if you're a Christian, you want that. And so we look for it and we think about it. But in the same way that we kind of do with buildings, we kind of look toward the end result. And most of us, when we think about ourselves as a strong Christian, we think about this. Now, first service, a college girl said, I had no idea who that person was. Do you guys know who this is? It's Billy Graham. You guys, who here has not heard of Billy Graham? Billy Graham is a guy who probably in the 1950s, perhaps began, he's an evangelist. He is, in my generation, and for probably two or three generations, he was looked at as a guy, wow, this guy is an amazing Christian. He had the Crusades where he would go and he would preach, and literally thousands, tens of thousands of people would come to listen to Billy Graham teach. Thousands of people would accept Christ. He has counseled with, I think it was something like 15 presidents. It's starting with like Dwight Eisenhower all the way up through Barack Obama. He would talk to these presidents. Presidents would call him in and he would have conversations with them. And so when we think about a strong Christian, this is kind of what we tend to think about. Here's a guy, wow, that's a strong Christian. And so when we think about ourselves, we think, well, I want to be a strong Christian, so that's what I'm shooting for. It's kind of like that end result, right? This is like that crazy fancy church we saw. That's the goal, and wow, it's going to be amazing, and that's going to be me. I'm going to be like that. Now, there's nothing wrong with thinking that. Just like there's nothing wrong with looking forward to a really cool building and to, you know, being excited about that building being built. Nothing wrong to look forward to it if we have realistic expectations about how we're going to get there. And when we think about being a strong Christian, we think about this when we need to start thinking about ourselves as a strong Christian more like this. We're just a young kid. That little feller probably doesn't know what eschatology means. Most of us probably don't know what eschatology means. That little guy probably has never once read Ezekiel, I'm guessing, or Matthew or Mark or Luke or anything. That little guy doesn't listen to Christian podcasts all day on his way to school. He doesn't go to school. That little guy maybe can't read yet. That little guy is not changing the world around him. That little guy doesn't get up and speak to 100,000 people at a crack. That little guy is just a little guy. That little guy is what Billy Graham started at. That's not Billy Graham. Be fun if it was, wouldn't it? That's not Billy Graham. That's what Billy Graham started as. Just a little guy. And he grew and he became what he was. You and I can become strong Christians, but we have to recognize we start here. This is where it begins. It doesn't start there at the final result. Just like a building doesn't just magically appear. No, you have to plan. You have to work. You have to build a foundation. It's the same with Christianity. You and I, if we want to be strong Christians, here's what we need to recognize, that it's not going to happen instantly. It's going to come. There's a process that is going to have to happen, and we have to think and plan and think, okay, what is it that I'm shooting for? What is it that I'm looking for? And then we have to build a foundation in our lives on which we can become that strong Christian. Does that make sense? It's the same thing. You can't have a building without planning. What's the purpose of this? How's it going to look? How's it going to get built? And then when you have that, you build the foundation, those strong things that maybe nobody ever sees, but you build that skeleton, that foundation. And then after the planning, after the foundational things, then on top of that comes all of the details, comes all of the stuff that we think about when we think about being a strong Christian. I mean, we think about being a strong Christian as, oh, I know the word. I can just, you know, people say something to me and the word just comes back to me. I can quote Bible verses because I've read it so much. Well, you know how that happens? Over time, you read every day when nobody's looking. Being a strong Christian, we think, I'm not going to be moved. You know, when people try to pressure me into doing something that I know is wrong, I have the courage to stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, that doesn't just happen. It's built over time. We think of being a strong Christian as I am just so filled with compassion. My love for people just flows out of me. Well, that doesn't just happen. It's built on a foundation. It's built intentionally. And God understands something that we need to understand. If we're going to be a strong Christian, which God longs for us to be, you know, we can say, oh, I want to be a strong Christian. God says, yeah, me too. That's a great thing. Let's you and I make that happen, says God. But there's going to be some process involved. We tend to not like process. We tend to not like process for one of two reasons. When we're young, we don't like process because I'd rather just have the results, right? When we're young, we think, I want to be great, but I don't. It's just too much work to become great. So just if I can just be great, that'd be great. Huh. You can write that down. If I could be, that would be wonderful. If I could just be great. But when we're young, we think, well, maybe I'm great already. Maybe I'm great enough. I probably am great already. When we're young, honestly, we tend to think that. I'm probably pretty great already. I clearly know more than my mom and dad. I mean, that's obvious. And I'm probably mostly great already. That's just not true. Young folks, you're not great. You're not. Because you haven't built the foundation you need for greatness. You haven't planned and intended, and you haven't grown up yet. Now, that's not a slam on you. That's just a reality. When we're older, we don't like process for a different reason sometimes. We don't like process because we think, I've missed it. I'm too far down the line. And there's this process that has to happen for me to become what I want to be, and I feel like I've missed it, and now I don't have time to do it anymore. And for us, I know I'm not great. I feel it. I see it. And I see so many things I'd like to be different in my life, but I'm too far down the line. And the process has passed me by, and it's discouraging, and it's sad, and that's what a midlife crisis is built on. I haven't become what I thought I was going to become, and it's too late to change it. And so we don't like process for different reasons. God love him some process. God is all about the process. And here's the reality. Here's the reality. Christian, if you're young or if you're old, if you've made good choices or bad choices, no matter where you are in life, where you are right now, God says, take my hand and let's you and I go to where we both want you to be. God says, this process is not too hard for me. This process hasn't passed you by. Whether you're young, you got a long way to go, lots of things to build. Fine. Take my hand. Let's go there. Let's dream big, huge ideas, and let's you and I walk there. Young person, your God, if you knew what God had planned for your life, it'd blow your mind. Why? You're crazy. Me? Yeah, you. Young person. Old person. You are not stuck. You are not done. You are not finished. The concrete has not set for you. God says, no matter where you are, no matter how far down the road you are, no matter how many poor choices you think you've made, God says, here, take my hand. Let's you and I go to where you and I both want to go. An old person, if you knew what's still in front of you, you'd say, what? Because you both have a great God. And that's what we're talking about here. Your God wants you to be a strong Christian, and he can take you there. But it's a process. Just a couple of verses here that talk about this. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to start reading here in verse 14. It says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful schemings. I mean, that sounds like a strong Christian, right? I'm not blown back and forth. I'm strong. I'm not fooled by deceitful men. I can stand up. That's exactly what a strong Christian is. But he says this, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, even Christ. We grow up. Growing up means time. Time has to pass. You don't grow up right away. It happens over time. God intends this to be a process for us to become those strong Christians. Here in 1 Peter 2:2, same thing. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Grow up. It's just this idea, guys, that if we're going to become a strong Christian, well, there's this, we don't start that way. But here's another thing. Unlike just being a little person, you know, being a little guy, as long as you give them some food, what's going to happen? They get bigger. I learned that. I had 3 kids, and you feed them, and they get bigger. It's just how it works. As a Christian, it's not necessarily that way. Because you can become a Christian and never grow up spiritually. And I'm going to be bluntly honest with you. Too many people sit in the pews of churches, too many of God's children who have God himself living inside of them, who have the ability to become something for their Father, who have the ability to take God's hand and walk to some place that just fills them with joy, honors God, changes the world around them. Too many of those people never grow up. And our world is filled with adult men who are just boys, with women who are just girls. And I don't mean that to be mean, it's just the reality. Just becoming a Christian does not mean you're going to be a strong Christian. You do not become a grown-up, mature Christian just over the passage of time. It's the passage of time that's necessary, but there's something else that has to go into it. And this is what it is here in Jude, little tiny book right before Revelation. Only one chapter. Verse 20, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Build yourself up. You have this most holy faith. What that means is that you accepted Christ. You became a Christian by faith. You didn't earn it. You couldn't create it. You couldn't craft it. There was nothing you could do to make it happen. God just presented it to you. You can't make yourself good enough to be worthy of it. You're not worthy of it. That's the whole point. I'll die for you, says God, even though you're unworthy. And he presents it to us, and all we do is accept it. It's a faith, and it's a holy faith, something God does. Only God can do it. And when we accept it, God himself comes and lives inside of us. God's Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and I become, it says in the Bible, a new person. I'm not who I was before. This is an amazing, mysterious, holy, spiritual, righteous thing. When I become a Christian, I suddenly become a different man. God is inside of me. And that most holy faith needs something from me if it's going to mature. And it's not just the passage of time. What is it? I need to build myself up. There is a building. There is an intentionality. There is an intentional effort that goes into me becoming a mature Christian. There's time, and there is intentional effort. And it's just like building a building. We need a plan, and we need a foundation. We need to think about what is it that I'm going to become? What am I really trying to become here in my life? What is a strong Christian? How am I going to become that? And then what are the things I have to build first? What's the foundation on which me becoming a strong Christian is going to be? And if you don't have these foundations, if you don't get these foundations, then you will not be a strong Christian any more than you can have a really cool building with no foundation, with no supports, with no trusses. It just falls down. It's just a jumbled mess. Too many Christians' lives are jumbled messes because we haven't built the foundations that God says this is what you build your life on. What we're going to talk about for the next 3 weeks are what those planning foundational things are. What are the foundations on which we become a strong Christian? How do I go through time wisely so that I'm growing, I'm building something up? My faith in Christ is growing, it's maturing. I'm becoming that strong Christian. That's what we're going to talk about here for the next 3 weeks. And just real briefly, I want to preview what those three things are. 3 weeks, we're going to talk about three foundational things. Next week, this is the first one. Next week, we're going to talk about humility. And humility is so completely indispensable if you want to be a strong Christian. It is impossible for you to be a strong Christian if you are not humble. I want to say that again. It is impossible. You cannot. There is no possible way that you can be a strong Christian if you're not growing in humility. It's not that you have to be perfect. Don't get me wrong. None of these things, we're not perfect in any of them, but if they're not being added to me, if I'm not growing in these, if these aren't becoming more and more true in my life, you will never be a strong Christian. Here in 1 Peter 5, I'm going to start reading here in verse 5. It says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. You see, so much about you and I becoming great, strong Christians. God does things. We have to do it in connection with God. We have to do it in lockstep with God. You and I become strong Christians when we take God's hand and he leads us there and we go there with him. If we are opposed to God, if he's going that way and we're pulling this way, we're not going to get to where we want to go. God opposes us when we're proud. He opposes us. What that word means is he takes up battle array against us. That's a very fancy way of saying he takes a club and whacks you on the head. And you're not going to become a strong Christian if that's all that's going on in your life. If you are setting yourself against God, it's just not going to happen. But as we grow in humility, what does it say? God gives grace to us. In other words, that's the soil in which we grow up. One time I did this just for fun. I took two marigolds, and one of them I gave water and Miracle-Gro to. And you know what happens when you give a marigold water and Miracle-Gro? You get lots of marigolds, really pretty. The other marigold, I put rubbing alcohol in. You know what happens when you put rubbing alcohol in a marigold? Pride is rubbing alcohol in your life. Humility is Miracle-Gro in your life. And humility, we're going to talk about this now next week. Humility is an action and it's an attitude. The action is something we don't like. It's submission. That's what that verse said. We think about submission as a bad thing. It isn't. The way God intends it, submission is not a bad thing. I'm going to make a conscious choice to submit myself. I'm going to put myself under somebody else's direction. That's what it means. I'm going to put myself under somebody else's direction. We think, ooh, yeah, maybe I can be a strong Christian without that. In fact, we tend to think, if I was a strong Christian, I wouldn't need that, right? The stronger I get, the less I need to submit. It's absolutely the opposite. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you become a servant. You become a servant. It's a conscious choice. I'm going to submit myself to somebody else. And it's an attitude. I'm going to see your interests as more important than mine. I'm going to recognize who I am in relation to God and who I am in relation to you. And God, you're my master. And you can command and direct me. And you have absolute right to command me. I have no right to tell you what should happen in my life. And listen, people, if you want to be a strong Christian, you better get that in your head. You cannot go to God and say, you are not doing this right. I want this, and if I don't get it, I'm going to be angry. That is not submission. And you have to submit to God. And we love to think about God as our Father. And he is. And he gives and he lavishes his love on us. We like that. And it's true. Here's something that's just as true. God is your master. And if he says go, you go. Whether you understand it or like it. That's submission. See, nobody has to submit to I love you. We like that. We submit to go. I don't want to go, but I'll go anyhow. See, this is those foundational things, guys. You want to be a strong Christian? I have to build. Well, that's one of the things I got to build in is humility. I'm going to build into my life humility. That's what we're going to talk about next week. The week after that, it's another foundational thing that we're going to talk about, and that's love. And it really answers the why question. Why am I doing this at all? And I'm going to read here. This is in 1 Corinthians 13, very famous chapter. If you've ever been to a wedding, you've heard this, because it's the love chapter. And it tells us what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It says it does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. And it describes what love is. And it's this beautiful thing. It's this wonderful, powerful thing. But in the verses right before that, 1 Corinthians 13 starts with this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. What he's saying there, understand what he's saying there is, look, this is not about skill. This is not about appearance. Because you can be really good at something and be nothing. Think about what it said there. If I don't have love, I am nothing. I'm just worthless. That's what it's saying. And we can think, no, don't tell me that. I'm worth all kinds of things. Yes, you are God's child, but in this life, the impact that you have, this is talking about the impact that you have. Am I going to be that strong Christian? You will not be a strong Christian if you're not motivated by love. What is love? I am going to do everything I can for your benefit, not mine. That's what love really, truly is. It's less of a emotional response to you make me feel good. Now, that's part of it. I'm not saying that's bad. Don't get me wrong. That emotional aspect of love is real and true and powerful, and God feels it toward us. And the more we grow in the Lord, the more we feel it toward Him. And that's part of this as well. So much of this, really learning to be a person who operates in love, is I'm going to learn how to be loved by God in this life. And that's one of the great things. Well, in my life, I'll just be honest, in my life, I didn't grow up feeling love from a dad very much. I didn't grow up feeling it. I grew up being commanded by my dad, and I understood that. That was good. I didn't grow up feeling loved by dad. As I've grown older, one of the most wonderful things for me in my life is learning that I got a dad, I got a father who just likes me. And he likes to be with me. And he's tender with me. And he loves me. And I'm learning how to feel that and to rest in that and to live in that. And here's what it does. As that becomes more true of me, it just changes who I see myself as in the world. It gives me confidence and understanding and strength. It makes me a different person at a core level. It's a foundational thing that I can build things on. So part of this love is that attitude, recognizing who I am in Christ. Here's the second thing. It's a choice. It's an action. I'm going to make your interests more important than my own. You know, the Bible is filled with so many radical statements that we think it can't really mean that. Well, here's one. Consider others as more important than yourself. That's what it says in Philippians. And I'm not paraphrasing it. Consider others more important than yourself. No, that's wrong, because I'm special. And I need to be taken care of. And so I need to consider myself first, and then I'll think about you. That's what the world tells us. It's true, you're special. It's true, you need to be taken care of. But here's where God flips on his head. He said, I'll do those things. I'll make you special. I'll take care of you. You consider that person more important than you. That's what love is. Jesus completely didn't take care of himself. He came here and said, I'm going to die. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And they said, if you go there, they're going to kill you. And he said, okay, and he went, and they killed him. You know why? Because that was the best thing that could have happened for you. Your father, Jesus, did what was the worst thing that could happen to him. He was unfairly executed, unrighteously, by evil, evil people. Because that was the best thing for you. Oh my goodness, folks. Oh my goodness. And we're called to live that kind of life. And that's a foundational thing. I'm going to live my life for your benefit, not for mine. Oh, that's hard. Don't get me wrong. I'm not claiming this stuff is easy. But that's what we're going to talk about the second week. Third week, we're going to talk about this. I get excited about this one. I'm excited enough as I'm out of breath already. Third one is this, perseverance. Perseverance. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. Perseverance is extremely easy to describe. I won't quit. That's all there is to it. I won't quit. won't quit. What if you fail? You're going to fail, Christian. You are going to fail spectacularly. You are going to blaze out. You are going to fail so much. I won't quit. Failure won't make me stop. You're going to be discouraged. I just keep trying, and it's just like nothing ever happens. I won't quit. You're going to be rejected by people who should love you. You're going to be opposed by people who you long to love you. I won't quit. You're going to be confused. I have no idea where to turn next. I'm just not any good at this, Lord. I won't quit. So many Christians run into something and they quit. They quit. It's too hard. It's too confusing. It's too long. It's too something. And they give up. I won't what? Quit. Not going to do it. I'm not finished. I'm not done. And I'm going to get up. And sometimes, guys, sometimes the Christian life is this. It's just dragging yourself along. And this is no fun. Nobody wants to hear that. No, Christianity is this. I am walking into the future and the world is seeing me. Sometimes that's what Christianity is. That only comes when you have crawled through the mud hand over hand and you are covered with filth and you long to be somewhere else. So much of Christianity is I'm going to do this and I don't care what happens. I won't quit. We are a nation of quitters. Too hard, not going to do it. Not getting that, it's not working, not going to do it. Need something faster, can't wait that long, not going to do it. Well, stop it! Stop quitting. We're going to talk about that the third week. I'm going to be all fiery, so be prepared. That's what we're going to talk about here for the next 3 weeks. Building this foundation upon which we can become these strong Christians that God wants us to become. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you desire that. You want us to be these strong Christians, Lord. And you can make it happen. And Lord, whether we become strong Christians or not, I'm so grateful that you love me just the same. It doesn't change who I am in you, but it does change what my life looks like. It does change the impact that you and I can have. And I want to be a strong Christian, to glorify you, to bless the people around me. And all of us want that. And we can be, Lord. Help us to take your hand and let you lead us there. In Jesus' name, amen.